let's bring in Tim Bezbachenko, general manager of Toronto FC. Tim, it seems like a really short offseason for me. I don't even know if that qualifies as an offseason, does it? I mean, what are we talking about? A little more than 8 weeks? That's not much of an offseason.
Yeah, 70 days. I mean, it's been really short. I've definitely felt it. And you know, given that we went, you know, to the last possible date, December 9th, and then you're really hitting the holidays, you know, a week later, and then the guys are really starting to show up that first week of January just to train on their own. So it was really short, but everyone's been motivated because the way that they revised the Champions League schedule and this new knockout format, you know, we still have the team that we had last year, unlike previous Champions League campaigns, which really happened about almost a year and a half later. Now it sort of back ends right to the end of our season last year. And our group that we have are really motivated to do well in this competition. So, you know, despite the short off season, I think everybody's excited, they're motivated, and hopefully get past Colorado tonight so that we get a chance to play probably a Mexican opponent. But I don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
That would be for an MLS team to have a shot at a team from the Mexican league. That would be pretty. I mean, that's pretty significant, isn't it? For soccer fans, that would be pretty significant.
Yeah, I mean, and just to give a little perspective, you know, as our league continues to grow worldwide, we're getting more and more, you know, a higher and higher reputation for product quality. But the Mexican league, in terms of their spend, they're actually probably still about double what we're spending on their roster. And typically that corresponds directly with talent. And we've been able to do a lot more with a lot less in our league, but we've never been able to unfortunately beat the Mexicans in CONCACAF Champions League. And I think that's the next step, not only for the league as a whole, but also, you know, our franchise. We want to be the first team ever to win the CONCACAF Champions League. So it starts tonight.
So, Tim, you've got a team that won the league championship. You've got a team that set records pretty much, I think, in almost unanimously considered even if you'd lost the final, most people would say that it was still the best team in MLS. And you've got, as you said, 70 days. How do you go about making improvements, fixing what needs to be fixed, tweaking what needs to be tweaked, and doing so in a way where you aren't too disruptive? And, you know, you've brought in additions like Vanderweel and Akache and Oro, pretty substantial guys in terms of pedigree and pretty substantial guys in terms of the role they're going to be expected to play with TFC. How do you do that without messing up what was a pretty good thing that you had going?
Yeah, good question. It kind of happened in a few steps. I think the first step was to take care of our guys that are already on a roster that, as you said, you know, went down as probably one of the best seasons, if not the best season of all time. So we got to take care of our own players. We really like our core group of players, whether or not that was Drew Moore, who was coming out of contract, or, you know, Eric Zavaleta, who was out of contract. He was sort of a reentry draft eligible player. So there's a number of players that were that we needed to take care of first. And that starts with the players on our team. And even a player like Victor Vazquez or Chris Mavinga, who we've been talking to, they were new last year, but in some ways they sort of outperformed what you know, a lot of people were expecting of them. So you're always talking to them about what they're, you know, how much we're committed to them and how much they're committed to our team. And then you have people like Justin Mora, who's coming out of contract at the end of this year, who we're currently speaking with. So there's a number of people on our current team that you want to make sure you take care of. That's sort of step number one. Step number two was the league gave us $4 million, which is essentially doubling our salary cap in order to go out and get additional players from abroad. It's called targeted allocation money. It's sort of over a two-year sort of period. We're allowed to go out and assign these new players, and that's how we were able to get Gregory Vanderweel and Akeche, and then Oro, who's on loan from Sao Paulo, a very, very large club in Brazil. He's on loan, but if we were to exercise him, then he would be TAM, targeted allocation eligible, which again allows him to sort of take advantage of this money that we have available. So those are sort of the first two steps. And then the last step is we signed a couple of players from our academy, right? You have Ayo Akinola, who's a dual sort of U.S. Canadian citizen, who's been one of our best players in their academy over the last few years. And Liam Frazier, who's, you know, captain the Canadian youth national team, and great seeing them break into the first team is very good for us, because you know, all the while we're signing these high profile internationals, we really want the spine of our team to start to become these young local Canadian players coming up through our academy. So I would say those three steps is how we've approached it. And we've had to sort of hit the ground running because we knew the CONCACAF was starting so quickly in February.
It's interesting that you made you mentioned the two kids that were signed out of the academy, because our friend Curtis Larson, I thought, had an interesting piece in the Toronto Sun about Jonathan Osorio, a local guy who played. I mean, I just thought he grew so much last year as you guys went on to the championship. And it was an interesting article because, again, here you have a local guy, kind of a homegrown guy. And he's looking around, and boy, he sees a lot of guys coming into this team. As I said, a lot of guys with pedigree, a lot of guys with reputation. How do you view Jonathan Osorio, and what do you think he is going to be for this team?
Jonathan is a fighter. We call him a gamer, which is someone who, you know, figures out how to win games, whether or not that's in training or in a game. He has a little bit of, his family's from Colombia, he's Colombian Canadian, and he spent time in South America where you pick up some nuances in the game that maybe you don't pick up in Canada. So, you know, I completely agree with the article. I haven't read the full thing, but I don't think he gets enough credit at all. And that's in both circles, MLS circles and, frankly, in Canadian national team circles. I thought he was left out for a number of months on the national team, even though he was starting in, you know, arguably the best team in MLS history. And so it's been, I think it's been at times frustrating for him. But what I've said is he always finds a way to get on the field. I mean, he has the ability to keep the ball under pressure. He's technically superior to most players on our team. And so all credit goes to him that no matter what player we bring in, because we're always trying to find competition on our roster and especially in the midfield position, Oso always finds a way to get on the field. So I speak so highly of him because it's his character and is willing to work every single day. You know, I think he took some sort of pages out of Michael Bradley's book in terms of how he approaches his daily work here up at BMO training ground, and he's in here early and he's out late, and so the credit goes to him.
Yeah, you know, and I'm thinking back to having watched him for a couple of years. I mean, at times he can be a frustrating guy to watch because he does have technical skills, but you see him around the box, and sometimes you'd like either that a quicker decision, or sometimes even a little slower decision, a realization that he has a little more time than he thinks he has. But I thought last year that the important thing for him was, as you said, I think he just kind of realized last year that in this team, if I work hard and I'm responsible, I will carve out a role for myself. And it's almost as if he became happier or developed a better understanding of the type of player he is, Tim, last year.
100%. Yeah, and I think he became more self-aware of what's going to make him a successful soccer player, not listening to people on the outside thinking that, hey, he has to score in order to be, you know, a top attacking, you know, central midfielder in the league. If he just plays his game and understands that he's actually extremely reliable defensively and he's gotten better and better each year on the defensive side of the ball, he's a really good player without even, you know, putting the pressure on to score goals. Now, would we like him to provide assist and to score a few more goals? For sure. But I think he understands now that he's a good enough player even without those things, and that he can find his way on the field. And there's other ways he can add value on this team than just scoring.
In particular, what do Vanderweel and Akache bring to the team?
So Gregory Vanderweel, obviously, he's a world sort of known asset and talent. He's played in a World Cup final, played on top teams, and it came up through the Ajax system, played at PSG and Fenerbahce. So he's been around, and he's a mature player. And I think with the window that we're in right now is, you know, everyone sort of on a spectrum of success. TFC is right in a window right now. We can win. And we need a couple players as we bring in younger players and players through the academy. We also need to bring players that are experienced and know how to win. Maybe, and if we go down to Mexico, he's not going to be intimidated playing in Azteca, playing in Tigres' stadium. There's a number of venues where a lot of the other players would find intimidating, and I don't think Gregory Bantuil will be intimidated by that. And then, look, his quality is top, right? He can get up and down the flank. He can play both as a right back as well as a right wing back. He can kind of fade into the midfield with the ball and not feel a little bit overwhelmed by the different space that's in the midfield versus when you sort of, you know, you're against the end line or the sidelines, excuse me. So we're really looking forward to him. His wife just gave birth to the baby, so he's been sort of in and out of training the last few days. So we'll see what happens over the next couple of days with him. And then Edgar Akeche, I mean, he, again, another player who's come up through Athletic Club Bilbao's youth system, one of the best around the world. That club only signs players from the Basque region of Spain. And they're one of three teams that have never been relegated in La Liga in Spain. You know, Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Athletic Club Bilbao. And so, he has he's grown up through a sophisticated youth system, and for whatever reason, he hasn't completely broken through because in a lot of ways they have sort of their DP playing ahead of him. And so he was coming out of contract, and to get a player like him without paying a transfer fee is a real coup for us. He's a cultured left foot. He can play both from sort of on the wing from the right coming into the midfielder, but also as an attacking midfielder in a diamond for us or on the right side of a diamond, which is what we've been playing recently. So he finds space in the midfield and he attacks forward, right? He can play the final pass, but he also has an ability to shoot from distance, which is something, frankly, it's been a little bit lacking from our midfield. So if we can pick up a few goals from distance from Edgar, we'll be very pleased with that. So both those additions, as well as Oro on the right side, have been, obviously looking forward to see how they do tonight as well as throughout the season.
Would you classify any of these acquisitions as done specifically because of the Champions League possibility? In other words, you talked about, you've got guys who clearly they played in big stadiums, they've played in, you know, supercharged environments, which you may run into, which you will run into in Mexico. Was that part of the thinking here, or do you have to take a longer term look as, you know, how does it fit into the MLS season?
Yeah, I think we certainly, you know, considered Champions League when we were acquiring the players, but at the same time, you could lose in the first round and be out, so you can't sort of mortgage your complete future. But certainly a player like Gregory Vanderwijk, one where we had Champions League in mind. But at the same time, we knew his personal situation meant that he probably wasn't completely, you know, match fit, ready to go. He had an ankle injury last fall, and so he wasn't getting, you know, regular 90 minutes. And so sometimes it's going to take some time for these players to assimilate and to especially get used to our league. So I think if we, assuming we advance far into Champions League and crossing our fingers, I do believe that these guys will step, and we've had that in mind. And then if you even go back, not just to these acquisitions, but some of what we did in the expansion draft and some of the moves we made last year, I think they're all in preparation for having a good run or giving it a go in Champions League.